Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory Peace Church. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those who have been. Welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this house. Father God, take full control. Hallelujah. Let's start praise and worship together this morning.
ordinary strategist. Impossibility specialist. You made a footstool. You seated in heaven. Incredible God.
Impossibility specialist.
Impossibility specialist. You're seated in heaven. You made the earth your footstool. Incredible God.
I want to sing that again. Extraordinary strategist.
Extraordinary strategist. Impossibility specialist, you're seated in heaven. You made the earth your footstool. Incredible God.
Hallelujah. Oh, incredible.
You're an incredible. Incredible God.
sing it one more time.
Little God, incredible God, incredible God.
You are,
you are an incredible God, incredible God, incredible God.
You are, you are,
you are an incredible God, incredible God, incredible God.
You are,
you are.
Thank you, Father, for your, you are so incredible, Father God. You are the door, and we knock, and you answer. You answer every time. You say you will never leave us, nor forsake us. And we thank you that you are Lord in each and every one of our lives. We thank you that you are so incredible, incredible in power, incredible in might, incredible in everything that you do. There is nothing ordinary about you. You are extraordinary in all your ways. Our ways are not your ways, and we need you to be a part of our ways. We give that to you right now. We give it all to you, Father God. We give you the glory. The glory goes back to you in everything. Everything that you do is more than enough. Is in extraordinary, abundantly. You promised us you would give us an abundant life. Not just life that is there, but more abundant life. I pray a blessing on each and everybody today as you receive from above our extraordinary Father that teaches us all things. He said he would send his Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And he started teaching the young ones from a very young age, even how to read. That comes from the Holy Spirit. All understanding comes from the Holy Spirit. Everything that was given to us in this world was once understanding or once wisdom, because we did not know what it was. But through wisdom, God's teachings, he downloaded wisdom into us. And now it's become knowledge. But now we need more wisdom, Father God, from you. We need more wisdom, more downloads from above. And we knock so that we receive from you. Only you, Father God, can teach all men. Your Holy Spirit can hover over the earth, over the waters, and he's still there. He's still here. You are present today, and we receive you, Father God, the anointing that you have. We thank you, Father God. We bless you. Bless the people, Father God, with understanding. New growth is happening. New understanding will happen. And Father God, we receive it all, and help us to use it each and every day of our life. To your glory, not our glory, but to your glory. We are an army that you are putting together. A strong army, not a weak army, because when the Holy Spirit is upon us, there's nothing weak about that, because you're an incredible God. You are mighty in everything you do. There's nothing weak about you. Nothing. There's nothing you cannot do. Thank you, Father God, for your love that you pour upon each and every one of us. We thank you for your peace that you have poured upon everyone. We thank you for your glory that you have even given to us, but we return that back to you, Father God. We bow our knees to you. We worship you. We praise you. We give you thanks. Give thanks for everything. Hallelujah. Blessings, Father God. You can sit down. Thank you. That was awesome. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in him. That's for each and every one of us, your confession to God. You can all sit down. Thank you, Father God. I had an experience a while back. It was about prayer. When I was in my travels in my truck, the one day, the Lord told me to pray against an accident that was supposed to happen on the bridge between Henderson and Main Street on the perimeter. And so I prayed, but I did not know exactly what to pray. I prayed against the accident. I did not know who it was for. God never told me. But it was a part of a teaching that he was teaching me. And every time I drove through that, the Lord reminded me for me to pray. And to, so I prayed again, but I did not know exactly what to pray. It was more of a casual prayer because I did not know what to pray. And I don't know if you guys would remember, but remember Cindy Clausen's, she was a skater that she was in the Olympics and she won for Winnipeg. Well, her sister happened to have an accident. It made the news because she was, this accident was incredible. It happened about 2 weeks after the Lord told me about this. And when the accident happened, there happened to be a fireman driving a car behind her, and he rescued her. That was ordained by God. Prayer is important. But I didn't take that prayer far enough. I just didn't. It's how I feel. Because in the news or whoever was commenting about it, I don't remember exactly what it was. He said that the car was teetering on top of the railings before she went down into the river. It was teetering. That tells me it can go this way or it can go that way. If it goes this way, it won't be so bad. If it goes that way, it could be horrible. But the fireman that was sent by God was there to rescue her. I thank God for that. But this is kind of like a reminder for me, for you, for each and every one of us to take our prayers to a higher limit. Pray in tongues. Use your spiritual tongue. It's so powerful. You don't know what you're praying when you, and you cannot pray wrong when you pray in tongues. Because it's the Holy Spirit that prays through you. And that was a real teaching for me in a sense. She was rescued, and I thank God. We worship God for what he does all the time, good or bad. But there's so much more that we can do. Pray without ceasing. Use your spiritual language and let God work in you. He's a mighty God, and he uses you and me. We are his hands, we are his mouth, we are his feet, we are everything that he wants us to be. He created you in his image. Therefore, we need to use this body, which is temporary, for the glory of God, to do God's work. And I just pray that each and every one of us can receive something from this story, because the teetering, I don't like that. I want it to fall on the better side. We're not on a fence. We need to live our life not on the fence, where it can go this way or this way. We need to be in God's perfect will. That's the better place to be. I thank the Lord for this teaching because it means so much to me. I think about it every now and then. It's a reminder for us to be in the Spirit of God, to obey his, and go to the limit. Take it even farther than what you need to, because that is the perfect will of God. Thank you, Father God. Pat can come up now. She can bless the children. Children, come up and receive the blessing from God from the prayers.
Well, praise the Lord. As you can see, Pastor Zeno and Pastor Maria are not here today. They're out in a ministry meeting, and they will be back soon. We thank the Lord for their lives. They're very precious to our congregation and to people across the world, taking the uncompromising word to the world in the name of Jesus. It's a global ministry. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have the honor and privilege to be in this church, that we are eyewitnesses of them for many years in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. We're praying for the children now. We thank you, Father God, that you have shown me that these children are going to be mighty warriors of God. They have the word embedded in them. They abide in the word. They soak up the word in the name of Jesus, and it will never leave them as they grow older. They are strong. They are a strong tower in the name of Jesus. They will not be broken by the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, for carrying them wherever they go. I pray, Father God, for the teachers, godly wisdom, how to teach them in the proper way of the Lord. And I believe they are doing that right now, because these children are focused on the Lord in everything that they do. They are taken from this world into God's kingdom to do great and mighty things. Greatness is upon them. It was upon Jesus. And these children are growing and growing in leaps and bounds in the mighty name of Jesus. They are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. They excel in everything that they do. They walk in pureness and holiness all the days of their life. Godly decisions are made by them. I pray, Father God, for the youth. Father God, where the enemy would like to entice them into things of the internet, we cut that off now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus covers our children. We thank you, Father God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, precious children, thank you for blessing them in their Sunday school today. And Father God, they learn more and more, growing and growing in the Spirit, growing in the things of God. They abide in the vine, and they bear fruit. Their fruitfulness is known by people. They are the light of the world. They're turned from darkness to the light in the mighty name of Jesus. I just bless them as they go to their classrooms right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning when I got up, not when I got up, but as I was walking past, the radio was on, and they were singing that song, "Our Heart's Desires to Be Set Apart on You, Lord, Ready to Do Your Will." Well, as Pastor Paul has been speaking, he spoke on prayer and things that the Lord actually placed on my heart this morning. I had this week, Psalm 91, and I was thinking of going to 112. I'm going to stick with, I believe it's Psalm 91, to stay with it. Okay, so we'll start with that. Do we have the, we're talking about prayer and being in the presence of the Lord. It is so important. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If you all would like to pray with me, when we speak the word, we're praying. So we pray scripture into our spirit. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and whom I will trust." These words, I thought, I'm going to look up some things. Dwelling in the presence of God, in a secret place. When we remain in that secret place with the Lord, we're abiding. And the word in John 15 says that I abide in you, you abide in me. Well, abiding there, we're dwelling, we're bringing fruit. In other words, we're learning more about the kingdom of God. And the anointing that's upon us from the Holy Spirit teaches us things. When I was a younger Christian, I couldn't really understand that. It says the anointing will teach. So I was getting mixed up about being, when you think about a teacher, then I'm thinking, well, why would you have then a pastor teacher teach you if the anointing teaches you? But I come to understand further that in that one part of the scripture, it's saying your individual anointing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will teach you things. And sometimes you don't like it because He will tell you the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. But if you let go of it and don't abide in it, then your life will stay the same. So we don't want to have lives that are the same. So we must abide and dwell with God. And I've got a scripture verse, Proverbs 1:33. It says, "Whoso hearkens to me shall dwell safely because and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So in that, it's saying that you're not consumed by circumstances. There's a God's protection upon your life, a dwelling of the Holy Spirit, going deeper in the Word. It's the Holy Spirit teaches you. You may not understand, but you keep on and keep on. When I was an early Christian, I was reading the book of Acts. I would read the first chapter, and the rest of the chapters was like nothing. I didn't even know what the heck I read. But I kept on with it, and now I know more about the book of Acts. So you have to pursue holiness at all times, even if you don't understand. So we're looking at that, and this is verse 3. "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisy pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies for day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday." The shadow of God. The Lord was impressing, a shadow is like a veil. Well, in the spirit realm, It's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, that shadow of him. He's over us. He covers us. It says that he covers us with his feathers. Now he's comparing us to bird life. He's saying, you know, a bird has feathers, and he always withholds their babies to keep in safety that they don't fall. So we thank you, Lord, that you are our protection, provider for everything, for protection for us. Verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Not with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I thank you, Lord, that you are our hiding place. I thank you, Father God, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. It's a place of safety. Even the Most High, thy habitation. As we dwell within the Lord, things move in the realm of the Spirit. We're speaking. God is a living God, spirit to spirit. Yes, we live in this natural world, but spirit to spirit brings about change. And as we meditate on things of the Lord, things change in our lives. We grow we become wealthy. Yes, the Bible talks about being wealthy. And wealth can come, a manifestation of wealth can come in our lives. But also the wealth of the Word of God, the wisdom that we get from being in the Word. Our mind is renewed. We are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. We thank you, Father God, you are our shelter, our protector, in the name of Jesus. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling place. It's the precious blood of Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, they put blood on the house, a doorpost of the house, so that the evil one would pass over. So we say the enemy passes over our homes because of the precious blood of Jesus. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Speak the word of God. Your angels are all around. It's the voice of command that makes the angels move. Or they're just standing there like this, doing nothing. They're going to get lazy. So let's get some word into them and for them to work for us. They will work for us. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. See, there's a knowing of the name. You can say you know things of the Lord, but do you really? Are you spending time reading the Word, growing in God, bearing fruit? We're looking at having the good soil from 30, 60, 90, 100-fold that we grow in the Lord. There is called maturity, maturing in the Lord. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Just let the Lord have his way and don't worry about it. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Wow, so again, he's saying, I will be with you in trouble. And from the other verses, it's talking about that trouble could come in our lives, but we do not focus on circumstance. It's a teaching that you yourself have to go through with the Lord, to teach yourself not to be governed by circumstances. You know, sometimes it's hard, and then you say, okay, Lord, I have to be with you. And Psalm 112, it says in verse 5, a good man shows favor, lends, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Verse 6, surely he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trust in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. I thank you, Lord. It says that as we are with you, Father God, in prayer, in that high place with you, our hearts become fixed. In other words, we don't look at circumstances as much as we used to. We trust in the Lord, we pray, and we know that the answer, if you're praying according to his word, the answer comes. And we do not waver, because if you waver, you're showing doubt. Doubt goes into fear, and that's from the enemy. So, you know, we're learning and learning, so we do our best. And it says, our heart is established. We shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. So in other words, verse 8 is saying spiritual warfare. Well, that's something else, too, that the Lord will teach you. It says the violence will take it by force. And you're thinking, well, what do you mean the violence takes it by force? Well, you can, according to the confession of your mouth. And God is the Lion of Judah. That's his name. So we have the Lion of Judah in us, and we can proclaim and declare the things of God without fear. He said that nothing shall hurt you. It was in Luke. He says you can tread upon serpents and scorpions, and you have all power over the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. But you need to be in the Word. The Word is the backup. That's a backup station. In Jesus' name. When I look at, I'll conclude with just this one verse. Isaiah 6:5. It was Isaiah was in the spirit. He was having a vision, and he said, he saw the angels. And we see the angels up in heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke." And what did Isaiah say? "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He saw the Lord of hosts, and he felt so unworthy to be in the presence of God. It's the showing us our need for God daily. We must be daily with the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pray now. I'm going to pray for Jerusalem. I pray, Father God, for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls, prosperity within her palaces, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, you're moving in your mighty power, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we lift up our federal and provincial governments to you. And also school trustees, chief of police, and fire chief. We thank you, Father God, that they work in the wisdom of God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, you'll be in control of all that they do, Lord. Any wickedness will be removed from these places quickly in the name of Jesus. And we call other people in that are righteous, that have a heart to do the right things in government in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Canada. I just decree we're a holy nation. Righteousness shall exalt our nation in the name of Jesus. We are a strong nation in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, if any wickedness is coming into our country, they are found out quickly and dealt with in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, for Pakistan and God's Lake. Father God, this is where the pastors have gone. And we thank you, Lord, there's a mighty move of your spirit. A change is taking place where people have been stuck. They are now loosed from the snare of the enemy in Jesus' name. We break every stronghold of the enemy that will cause them not to flourish in their land, a land of pride. Just decree these places are a land of prosperity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the movement. You're building new churches in these areas. Pastors, you have ordained pastors and ministers to be in the places of Pakistan and God's lake or God's river. There is a mighty change of the spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nourish them. Heal their wounded areas, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for Operation Full House. Father God, that the kingdom is advancing, and I pray, Father God, that our hearts are ready to receive the influx of people that are coming into this church. Let us be ready and let us not complain. Father God, you are the one who put it in the pastor's heart, and I decree and declare it shall come to pass. In the name of Jesus, we cut off strongholds that would try to hold us back from ministry in the name of Jesus, that we may not get the gospel of peace out in the name of Jesus. We say it will go forth in the mighty power of Jesus. It will not fail in Jesus' name. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church in the mighty name of Jesus. We walk in pureness of heart and holiness in the mighty name of Jesus. We stand on the solid foundation of Christ Jesus. It was established from the beginning that Jesus is the head of all the church, and we're in the movement right now, proclaiming the gospel of peace. It shall never stop in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for leadership you're bringing into this house. You said you would bring the holy flock into this house that would help us in this ministry. Bring in the people that should be here, Lord. There are people that have left the church. They belong at Glory and Peace Church. I call them back in the name of Jesus. Call them back in the name of Jesus. Come back home. Come back home in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the healing that will take place amongst this congregation right now. Any wounds that need to be healed, heal them in the name of Jesus. Emotionally, physically, mentally, help. Lord, we call for help from the great physician, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the church and you're going to do. We pray in faith, believing it will happen in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Want to explore with you a thought that we are certainly aware of, but we need to be very conversant of. At times when you have information, but you do not know the full implication of that statement. We talk about the blessing of Abraham, but the reality is that while we know about it, we have not focused on it. The Word of God says that when we meditate on the Word of God, that's how we are going to prosper. Amen? And so we need to meditate on what God's Word says. What is this blessing of Abraham? The Word of God tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 14. Galatians 3, beginning to read from verse 14. If you can, turn to that particular passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3. And verse 14. The Word of God says, Actually, let me go up a little bit earlier than that. Let's take it up from verse 10. Let's start out from verse 10. The word of God says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" So there is a law, and the word of God says, "Cursed is everyone that does not continue to do that which is written out in the book of the law." But the word of God continues, says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." So the law is given, and curses everyone who does not continue to work according to the law. So, but then the word of God says that no man is justified by the keeping of the law. How then are we to be justified? The word of God says, "For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Now, this is not just a New Testament declaration. The just shall live by faith. And I want you to understand and take a hold of that word. The just or justified live by faith. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, and we're going to come back to the book of Galatians, but in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the word of God states very clearly, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up," I want you to notice those words, "the soul of the one who's lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith." The just live by faith. Now, in that statement found in the book of Habakkuk, God's word is saying, listen, I have given a commandment, and if you think you can keep this commandment, you are operating in pride, because there's no way you're going to be able to keep it. So what was the reason for the law? The law was given to show us our need for God. Amen? It was given to show us that we cannot do the right thing. So we have to trust in a God who is going to impart us with his righteousness, and by his righteousness, we'll begin to live uprightly. For you to think that you can do it in your own strength is fully. It's not possible. It's an impossible task. Now back to Galatians chapter 2. It says, or chapter 3 rather, it says, the last statement we read in verse 11, it says, "The just shall live by faith." And the law, watch this now, the law is not of faith. The just live by faith, but the law which God gave, he says it's not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're doing those laws, you're going to live in them. And then it says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. These impossible laws that we cannot keep. He says we've been redeemed. We've been bought back from that work. Praise the Lord. Why did he do that? And how did he do it? By he himself, the Bible tells us, being made a curse for us. How did he become a curse for us? How did God take on the curse for us? For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So when Jesus went on the cross, he took on the curse. Amen? The curse that was supposed to rest on me as a lawbreaker. because I could not keep all of the laws. He redeemed me from that, became a curse for me. Why? That the blessing of Abraham, Jesus took the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you and I can participate in the blessing of Abraham, Jesus took the curse of the law. First of all, understand that the Gentiles for sure could not keep the laws. Now, understand that the statement about not being able to keep the law was primarily. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. It was primarily concerning Gentiles. Because Paul tells us, according to the law, blameless. So the impossibility of not being able to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, well, you know the Ten Commandments, right? You have God first, then you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes? Hallelujah. You're going to keep the Sabbath. You don't commit adultery. You don't steal. You don't lie. You are not covetous. What is so impossible about those? It is all the other laws, all the other man-made laws. You have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this. There's maybe 600 and something of them. And if that's how you think you're going to make yourself holy, you just made yourself the biggest fool. You can't. And Gentiles for sure couldn't. Because Gentiles were given to all forms of immorality. They did not know God. And there was no way for them to keep the laws that will help them walk with God. So when we're talking about the law, yes, it affects Israel. But it's specifically, more specifically directed at Gentiles. Hello? Do you get it? You sure now? Okay. So what should happen so that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, who became a curse for us? We were born and shaped in iniquity and sin, and we had no fighting chance. We're not anywhere close to the commonwealth of Israel. There's a commonwealth of Israel, and we were not part of it. And Jesus, our Lord, made certain that we become part of it, so he took on the curse for us and for all mankind, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith, not through works. Through faith. So the blessing of Abraham is received by faith. Hallelujah. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or add it thereto. Now to Abraham, and his seed, where the promise is made, and his seed. And he clarifies, he says, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise God. The seed, which is Christ. The promise is to the seed. Which seed? That same seed that is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. So the blessing of Abraham is God saying, listen, I got Israel covered. I got to have you also covered. And the way to bring you and you together is in Christ Jesus. Because I can see there's a proof here. You guys, it should be easy for you to keep the Sabbath. Huh? Just the Sabbath. Guess what? They didn't keep the Sabbath. So for all of the Sabbaths that they did not keep, God sent them into exile. Bang! Ezra chapter 1. Can you take me to Ezra chapter 1? They were committing adultery. David committed adultery. Thou should not kill. David killed. So even for them, something that should have been easy was not that easy. I think I got my passage wrong. I thought it would be here. Anyway, the passage of scripture I wanted to bring you to is a passage where God sent Israel out into captivity because they did not allow the land to experience its Sabbaths. So for the 70 years, they were out for 490 years. Amen? If you find it, let me know. Hallelujah. Just look for 490 years and we'll find it. It's there somewhere. Anyway, so this is what happens to Israel and to the people of God, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, all of this is happening. And the word of God says to us, in verse 17, it says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after. So God confirmed this blessing, this covenant blessing, 430 years before the law came into play. And the law that now came into play did not disannul or cancel out the promise or made the promise of God of none effect. And the promise was given by faith. Hallelujah. That's why the just live by faith. He says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Was a promise. This is what I'm going to do. Wherefore then severed the law? It was added because of transgressions, people messing up, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. That seed to whom the promise was made was Jesus. And it was ordained, watch this, it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So angels presented the documents. God saying, I'm bringing Jews and Gentiles together. And Ephesians would tell us to create the one new man. Praise the Lord. One new man under the lordship of the sovereign Lord. He says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So we are getting another dimension of what this working of faith is. It's to establish righteousness, the right to stand. Amen? But the scripture had concluded all under sin. Every one of us, we all have what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be fulfilled, given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the blessing of Abraham, it came through Jesus Christ. But what is the blessing of Abraham? What is this blessing? Genesis chapter 12. Come with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Starting to read from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Abram, the name means exalted father. This name is going to be changed in Genesis 17 to Abraham. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. God speaks to Abram. He says, you know what? It's time for you to leave. God has spoken to his father. And his father had left all the Chaldees, and he've come all the way to Haran, and he stops there, and he dies there. He never did fulfill the calling that God had for him. So, here's Abraham. God speaks to him. He says, get thee out of thy country. Thy country? They've made Haran their country. They settled down. And God says, this is not my promise for you. And God looks for a man called Abraham and speaks to him. He says, leave this country. Leave your brethren, your kindred, your family members. Leave your father's house and follow me. I'm going to show you a land. What is the name of the land? I'm going to show it to you. When you get there, you will find out what the land is. This was his first act of faith, not knowing where he was going, but just trusting God. Just trust in God. And he says, God begins to pronounce the blessing. He says, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'm going to make of you a great nation. First promise. I'm going to make you not just a nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. Do you understand that Israel, small as it is a great nation? They've produced more good in the earth than any other group of people. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, you name it. If you're looking for breakthroughs, trace it back to Israel. It's a Jew. Because the blessing of Abraham is on them. And they received it by faith. And you and I, as Gentiles, if we are going to experience the blessing of Abraham, we've got to receive it. How? By faith. Not by works, by faith. Lord Jesus, you became a curse for me so that I can tap into this blessing and become a great nation. Now, what does it mean to be a great nation? Now, do you know there are people on the earth today, right this very moment, that are wealthier than nations? Yeah? There are people that when the United Nations is meeting, they can sit with the United Nations and speak as a nation because they've got power. Are you with me? So when God talks about making you and I a nation, making Abraham a great nation, he's talking about the capacity and the ability to function and do things in extraordinary ways that is done in a way that impacts nations. And the Word of God says to us that we are to preach the gospel and disciple nations. Hallelujah. The Word of God says we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. We've got to have a national perspective about us and recognize that when we are speaking, we are not just speaking to a handful of people, but that we can change the situation in nations. Speak with a voice that changes nations. Speak and take possession and become a principality that deposes principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness, because we understand that Jesus became a curse for us so that we can become the blessing that becomes an impact force in the world. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Lord, our Father, is speaking to Abraham, and he's saying, number one, I'm going to make thee a great nation. Secondly, he says, I'm going to bless you. That's the second thing. And I will bless thee. I will bless thee. I will barak you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. If you listen to my instruction and leave everything, separate yourself from everything that is natural to you and walk with me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour great blessings and benefits upon you in so many ways. You are going to know that you are blessed. When you and I say, I am blessed and highly favored, we're talking about the Abrahamic blessing. God said, I'm going to bless you. And not only am I going to bless you, number three, I'm going to make thy name great. I'm going to make your name great. You see, when God makes your name great, you don't need titles. When your name is great, it doesn't matter whether they call you bishop, apostle, doctor, engineer, whatever, you know, from where I come from. If you graduate, you're an engineer, that's what you put in front of your name. Engineers. I can understand doctor, I can understand a lawyer, you know, a barrister, you know. Well, there's no reason why, you know, architect so and so. You know, when your name is great, they just mention the name, it opens doors. It's not the titles. But people want titles. People will die, kill other people just to get a title. But our God says, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you a name, and your name is going to be great. I'm giving you a great name. Hallelujah. A great name. A great name. Somebody say, Lord, make me a great nation. Bless me and make my name great. Hallelujah. Make my name great. If I say Maurice Cerullo, if I say Billy Graham, I don't need to put doctor, reverend, pastor, apostle, whatever. When your name is great, it's just a matter of mentioning the name. And that's it. Hallelujah. That's it. You just mention the name. Oh, I know that guy. He has a great name. God wants you to have a great name. That is part of the Abrahamic blessing, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. You and I were the Gentiles that are now grafted in, and we are now part of the family of God. And God is saying, I'm going to bless you with faithful Abraham. Wow. 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 I'll make your name great. And not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing. She. I'll bless you, and then I'm going to make you a blessing. That is God enlarging you, that your name begins to open doors for people. Just the mention of your name, and doors will swing wide open. I'm going to give you a great name. You see, when the sons of Sceva went to mess up with the demonic guy, and the demonic guy beat them all up, he said, Jesus, I know. I know Paul. Who are you? Who are you? I was listening to a message by a guy who was dedicated to the devil. And he was married from when he was a baby, to an elderly woman, satanic. Grew up to be a wicked, evil, practicing individual, seeking to destroy everybody and anything. You mess with him, you're done. And he said, while he was growing up, he came to encounter the Lord. Before his encounter with the Lord, he said, one time they sent message to him and all the cohorts that operated in his particular part of the country. They said, every one of you move away from the town. Go 70 miles away. Don't you come into the town. Why? Because there's a guy called Maurice Cerullo coming. And if you are there, you're on your own. Because Maurice Cerullo is going to mess everything up. Hallelujah. That's a great name. I remember I've not said this often, but I remember as I stand here before you, one day, the Lord speaks to me. The Lord spoke to me. I heard him loud and clear. He said to me, he said, son, let me tell you something. I said, what, Lord? He said, you know, my promise and how the people will say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, Maurice Cirillo. I said, huh? He said, yeah, it's in the name of Jesus. That's the ultimate name. But you can say, because of him, I love the Son. I said, I've not heard this before. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Maurice Cirillo. I say, what? This man is in that class? You hold him up that high? Yeah. So I thank God that he chose him to be my spiritual father. Amen. I honor him. Praise the Lord. I was listening to something today and there his name popped up again. I say, man, this guy he's gone from going to 3 years now. And he's still moving things. That is God blessing you and making you a blessing. He's giving you a great name and making you a blessing. That doors get open just because. That when people are struggling and going through crisis situations, that you stretch your hand and you bless them and you say, go in the strength of the Lord, and things begin to open. That's you being a blessing. It's the overflow. Hallelujah. The overflow of God's goodness operating in you and through you. He says, number one, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless them that bless you, Abraham. Anybody who blesses you, I'm going to bless them. This is the way to connect. Hallelujah. You bless Abraham, you get blessed. Today, we are going to sow into the household of Abraham. Amen. Praise God. You see, there are all kinds of seeds that you need to sow. Leviticus tells us about sowing all kinds of seed. That there comes a time when, you know, God says, I'm going to pour you rain. But the seed, you got to sow. You know, the problem is that many of us eat our seed. And then we complain, God is not blessing me. No, sow your seed. But it's not just one kind of seed that you sow. Today we're going to sow into Israel. We've sown into Pakistan. Yes? I'm not going to tell you all the places that we sow into, but I tell you what, you know, as much needs that we have, I am smart enough and wise enough to understand that if what I have cannot solve my problem, I got to sow it and trust God to multiply my seed sown. Amen? So, everyone that is going to engage themselves in sowing in one form or the other today, you're going to receive the impartation of that. The Word of God tells us about tithing, and he says, when you tithe, you are going to fill my house. Now what the Word of God says? It says, but if you want your house filled, you got to sow the first fruit. And who does the first fruit go to? To a man of God. So you have to sow that way and sow this way. Ecclesiastes says, sow in the morning, sow in the evening. You don't know which one is going to produce the fruit that you want. Let's keep on sowing. When the Lord talked about sowing of seed, he said, the sower scattered it through the seed. Some fell on good soil, some fell on thorny soil. You know, it just fell, but some fell on the good soil. And the ones that fell on the good soil produced everything that he needed. Hallelujah. So, sowing. But sowing is not just a sowing of money. It's a sowing and the tithing of your time, of your talents, the capacities that God has given to you. You want to experience increase in. Now, understand that cursing them that curse you is not about, I abuse you, I speak an evil word to you. The curse is the lack or the absence of the blessing. So when you see somebody and you are meant to bless them and you did not bless them, guess what you did? You curse them. And by that curse, you curse yourself. Never make a promise to a man of God. Hear me loud and clear. If you really want to know the blessing, hear what I'm about to say. Never make a promise to a man of God that you don't intend to keep. Never. You do that, you position yourself into the curse. Things will begin to fall apart. It's not the devil doing it. It's you that did it to yourself. If you pronounce a thing to a man of God, I'm going to do such and such, move heaven and earth to make sure you do it, or do everything. Or go to that man and say, I promised you that I was going to do such and such, and I have failed to do it. I don't know I'm going to be able to do it. Will you release me from my own words? Let him release you from your own words. Or you just put yourself under a curse. And that curse continues into your generation. It's passed on. Just like the blessing passes on, so does the curse pass on. So never do that. You give your word, keep it. Keep it. Amen? Don't be flippant. Nobody forced you to go say anything. Curse those that curse. Curse him. And in thee, he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families in the earth be blessed. Guess what? Jesus, our Lord, came through this lineage. And all the families of the earth have been blessed because of him. The Bible says, and Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. God told him, what did God say for him to do? Leave your family. Yeah? Is that what he did? No, he took Lot with him. And the Bible said, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, but he took Lot with him. Don't ever add to the instruction of the Lord, because whatever it is that you add to the instruction of the Lord will be your undoing later on. Lot became a problem. Whoever comes with you is going to be blessed, but they're going to go past the point of being the blessing to challenging the integrity of who you are. And so did Lot. And finally, Lot, we know the story. I'm not done yet. I'm going to take you to another passage of scripture in just a moment. Lot comes with Abraham. They're both growing. And Abraham says, Lot, you know what? You go that way, I go this way. You choose. And the junior, in our culture, senior chooses first. In most cultures. Lot, in his arrogant self, chooses a plush land where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And when he left to go, God speaks to Abraham, says, look east, west, north, south, up, down, every which way. I've given all of them to you. Everything is yours. Including what Lot was going to collect, that he thought he was going to collect. He lost his family there. The Abrahamic blessing brings us to a place of fullness in the good things that God has for us. Amen? Now, let's do one quick thing. Come with me to Genesis 17. Because God is restating in parts what this Abrahamic blessing is. Well, where does the time go? Genesis 17. He says, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that's 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. So he was 75. Now he's 99. So that is 24 years later. Are you with me? What year is this? 2024. Praise the Lord. 24 years later, the Lord appears to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou what? Perfect. Huh? No man is perfect, but not according to the language of God and not according to the language of faith. You be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply thee exceedingly. I have multiplication on my mind for you. 99-year-old, that's fruitfulness. Amen? I'm going to multiply you. The man is, in a sense, I guess at this point, he has Ishmael, but God is saying, no, no, the blessing is not Ishmael. Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. God talked with him, saying, as for me, God, my covenant is with you. And thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. When God started, he says, I will make of you a great nation. Singular. Singular. God is progressive. Amen? It's a process. He's giving him one word. Now he comes back to him on the 24th year and he says, I'm going to make you many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram. Your name is no longer going to be Exalted Father. I'm changing your name from this day. I'm going to call you Abraham because you are a father of multitudes. Huh? For a father of many nations have I made thee. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. the promise of God. People are going to call you Father. Nations everywhere. I remember traveling with my father, my spiritual father, to different nations, and the honor that was given to him in different nations. Father, Father, everywhere, Papa, 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 presidents, Papa, vice presidents, Papa. Well, God is a good God. Amen? He's well able to do what he wants to do with my life, with your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Nations. Papa, you're father to us. You're father. You're a father. You're a father. I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Oh. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Abraham, kings are going to come out of you. This is a covenant I'm making with you. Now, that covenant that God made with Abraham is a covenant that he pulls in Jesus Christ to include you and I. See, the most effective prayer that you and I can pray is, God, remember your covenant. And in this conference where we are talking about, Lord, remember me, really what we're saying is, Lord, remember your covenant. This is not dependent on me. This is going to be your doing on my behalf. Amen? He says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I'm going to be the God of your children. They are going to reign and rule in the nations of the world. Guess what? In the nations of the world, Jews, Israelis are ruling. Oh, these Jews, they are this. And no, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It is a covenant. And the devil has not been able to stop it. The blessing that God has for you is an unstoppable blessing. And every agenda of Satan, through men, women, boys, girls, satanic forces, spiritual forces, whatever they might be, the judgment of God comes against everything that stands in the way of the blessing of God being established and being fruitful in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, fire of the living God, on every altar that stands against you to try to impede and stop you from fulfilling God's divine mandate, every tongue that rises up against you shall fail in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do you receive that word for your life? Amen. Hallelujah. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. There is no limit to what I can do with you. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now that circumcision happened on the eighth day. What does eight stand for? New beginnings. God says, I'm starting something afresh with you. You've messed up, Abraham. You brought Lot. Now you've got Ishmael. But that's not what I planned for you. So I'm going to give you a new start. May God grant every one of us a new start. in Jesus' mighty name. A star that propels us into the destiny that God has ordained before the foundations of the earth for us. I want you to recognize, and I'm going to stop for now. I want you to recognize these simple things. Continue reading Genesis chapter 17 and see all that God has to say there. I want you to recognize this. First of all, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then he enlarges it and says, nations, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. And I'm going to curse them that curse you. And through you, all families will be blessed. That is the promise of God. Hallelujah. That is the promise of God. So today, let us embrace that which God has established already for every one of us. When God changed the name of Abraham, Abram to Abraham, he also changed the name of Sarai to Sarah. God is a God that deals with a family unit. What he does for one, he does for the other, so that both, there's no lopsiding. Everything is in proper balance. Amen? I'm going to make you mother. You're going to have your own child. And your sadness, I'm going to turn to laughter. Sarah is busy laughing. He says, what, you're going to have a child? Ah. Abraham was the first one who laughed, do you know? When God talked to him in Genesis 17, Abraham laughed. He said, yeah, right. God, let's forget that. Just take Ishmael. God says, I heard you about what you're saying about Ishmael. I'm going to bless him, but the real covenant person is. Do you know God has blessed the Arabic nations? He said there are going to be 12 nations out of Ishmael. They also have been blessed. That's why Muslims today, because most of them are Arabs, can say, we are blessed. Amen? You go to Dubai, oh my goodness. You go to Arabic nations and see what the blessing does. The wealth. Huh? The wealth. It's all because of the blessing that God spoke. Yeah? Israel, because of its sin, got scattered all over the place. But the blessing is still in the land. The land that was all totally messed up before Israel started returning to the land. Jews have always been in the land of Israel. They've never at any time been totally removed from the land. Not one time. Okay, a good segment of them will leave, but there's always been Jews in the land since way back. All right? That land today, we're going to go to Israel together. Amen? We're going to go. And you're going to see, we have an open invitation already, right? So we'll find a way to put it together. All during the service, do you see that behind me? That is a live shot. So we are right now in Israel by being in that live shot. We've laid prayers on there and seen barren women have their babies. We've seen a lot of results just praying in the name of Jesus. and joining with all the prayers of the saints and miracles happening, God is doing something in your life right now. Just receive it. God is doing something in my life right now. I'm receiving it. I'm not allowing any language of hell to be spoken into my life. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the Abrahamic blessing that God has placed on my life, placed on your life. Don't belittle yourself, and don't allow anyone to belittle you. Just know who you are and be the blessing God says you are. Do not lie to yourself, and don't lie to somebody else. Don't drag things that God did not say bring. He says, leave that alone, leave it alone. Hello? For some of us, we might have to separate ourselves from certain relationships to pursue the heart of God. And do it. As God directs you, do it. But don't lose out on the blessing that God has for you. Amen?
You heard it. Don't lose out on the blessing that God has for you. And it's the wealth that belongs to us, we need to pursue it because it's a promise of God and you need to take it. When it comes, it comes. It comes big. And God has it for us somewhere, and it's going to come. It's a promise from above. We are from the Abrahamic. We are Jewish. In heart. That's something that we've been grafted in. The Word of God talks about we are grafted in. And we need to receive it. We need to know, just know it. Deep in yourself, in your spirit. It's more than just in your mind. You need to know it in your spirit that it's coming. And when you know it's coming, you're going to act as if it's coming. Right now it's time to bring our tithes and offerings and be in the knowing that God's promises are coming. They are here. We need to take them. We need to receive them. And when we plant our seeds of your first, which is your tithe. And don't mix your offering and your tithe. Because when you mix your offering and your tithe, that brings a little confusion. Because they're separate. We need to be blessed. We need to be blessed. That's where the blessings of Abraham come. Abraham left a tithe and offerings. And we do the same. Thank you, Father. We're going to partake of the bread and the wine. This is to seal the promises of God towards us. I thank God our pastors are wise, are full of knowledge, knowledge from above. It was downloaded to them by God. It doesn't just come. That's a word from God. And we now receive Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Each and every one, stand up. We need to acknowledge and be wise with how we react in the fear of God. The fear of God is important in our lives. That's our respect towards God. Today, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Take, eat, in remembrance of me. We thank you, Father God, for what you've done on the cross, what you did in this world to teach us and to bring us into a higher realm, spiritual realm, high above all principality and powers. We thank you, Father God. Eat. In the name of Jesus.
We now participate in taking the precious blood of Jesus. The God who took all grief and sorrow from us. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. God touches and heals us in every form. He's a complete God. He's more than enough. An incredible God. And we exalt the name of Jesus. Take and drink of the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you are great, you are mighty, you are excellent in every way. We thank you that you are so generous. You want us to have the best, and you want us to take it. And we take it now, we receive it from above. In the name of Jesus. The promises of God are sealed by the blood. They are sealed by the promises of God, and we just receive them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your blessings upon us. We release each and every one of to continue in the Word and to know, to have your faith is to know as well that you are high above principalities and powers and that these entities cannot touch you. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, none of that is for us. Because of the blood of Jesus, the promises of God. We seal that into each and every one of us now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for what you are doing. We thank you. We give you the glory for the message that we heard. And I pray that it is applied into each and every's lives and that we can walk throughout the week until we come back and continue in your ways. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Have a good evening, a good day, a blessed day, rest of the afternoon. Meetings tonight are at 7 o'clock. Wednesday at 7 o'clock as well. We have prayer, but there is a mighty teaching from the apostle again. And on Friday, we have prayer meeting. We have a powerful prayer meeting. Don't miss that. Because the power of God, when it comes, demons run. They don't want to be around. And that's all because of Jesus, of course. We give him the glory. But we must take it with violence. And that's not a physical violence. That's with a spiritual violence. Go out and be blessed, each and every one of us, in the name of Jesus. I see there's quite a few.